Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Such a beautiful, beautiful spirit in the place today. Again, it's good to see all of you. It's good to have Brother and Sister Thompson here. Brother Thompson kind of made me feel old. He said, Brother Grant, when you were in La Crosse, I was just a kid in the church in Winona. Brother Thompson started a church in Waseca in Albert Lea, Minnesota. He grew up in Fountain City, Wisconsin, so he's really a Wisconsinite. Attended the Winona church in Minnesota. He has served as furlough replacement on the foreign missions field. He's presently pastoring in Columbia Heights, Minnesota, just right outside of Minneapolis. It's just so good to have this man here. He's been in the ministry for 34 years, and I've heard so many things about him down through the years, and I've been to Minnesota ministering where he was, and it's just good to have him here. And I want you to give him a warm Madison welcome as he comes. God bless you, Brother Thompson.
Thank you, Pastor Grant, and thank you, Church of Madison, and greetings from Minneapolis. You may be seated. It is a very much an honor to be able to fill the pulpit here this morning, and we honor your pastor, and I've known him ever since I was very young, and remember when he was pastoring in La Crosse, and yes, I was a child. So, there are heroes in the faith and those who have made great impact in the kingdom of God, and Brother Grant is one of those, and we're glad to be able to be associated with him. Amen. I'm also grateful to be able to meet the Leonardson family yesterday and the Russells. Wonderful, wonderful people. Amen. And a verse came to my mind today. There's no greater joy than for a father to know that his children serve the Lord. And I'm very grateful that my three children are all serving God in some form of ministry. I'm very grateful for that. And I did grow up in a small town of a little over 1,000. I actually grew up in a country just south of Fountain City, about 28 miles north of La Crosse. And my wife came from the Sturtevant Church. So I came to Wisconsin and took a girl away. And so my son was saying, there's just nobody here in Minnesota. So we said, do what I did, go to Wisconsin. So, amen. If you can take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 3. Amen. If you don't mind standing in reverence for the Word of God, just a few verses of Scripture, John chapter 3. Starting with verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the supreme sacrifice. Thank you for free salvation to whosoever will this morning. Let your word be blessed. Fill someone with this blessed gift today, the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we claim it. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. As introduced, I grew up along the bluffs overlooking the Mississippi River, just north of La Crosse. The bluffs were behind our house. It was a steep driveway that from Highway 35 that went up the side of the hill to get to our home. Behind our home were the bluffs, and in front of the home was the Mississippi River, and probably about 5 stone throws down to the river. But behind our house were, with the bluffs, we had the home for rattlesnakes. And as growing up as a children, we would walk down the gravel driveway to the highway, and we would wait for the bus, and after school we'd walk back up the gravel hill to our home. And one day, shortly after we had walked up the hill to our home, my dad came home from work. He worked for the railroad. And he called us all out, and he said, "Children, I want to show you something." And he took us out to the driveway that we had just walked up, and there stretched out was probably about a 3-foot rattler. And he laid it out there, and he left it right where he found it, and he laid it out there, and he brought all of us kids. He'd killed it. And he said, "I want you to take a close look at this snake." He said, "I want you to really look at this, because this is a poisonous snake. This is a rattlesnake. And I want you to understand so that if you see another one, you'll be able to identify it. There are other snakes that look a lot like this snake. And the one that looks a lot like it is called the bull snake." She said, "Next time I find a bull snake," we don't kill bull snakes because the bull snake is the only snake that's a predator of the rattlesnake. She said, "So we do not kill bull snakes, but if I ever find a bull snake, I will bring it. I want you to see so that you can see they have similar patterning, but there's a difference between the two, and you must know because you don't ever want to kill a bull snake. But you do want to kill every rattler. And you want to stay." Well, he wasn't telling us as kids to kill me. He was just saying, you know, stay away. Identify it. Time passed, and he did find a bull snake up in the back just behind our house a little bit. And he had us all out there and showed us the bull snake. And he showed us all the markings on it. And another year or two passed by, and then he found another rattler in the side yard. And again, he brought us all out there after killing it. Matter of fact, the state of Wisconsin put a bounty on them. And we used to have people come and ask if they could park in our driveway, and they would wear boots that went up past their knees, and they would wear leather gloves and went up past their elbows, and they'd carry long sticks, and they would carry leather bags on their back, and they would go up into the hill behind our house, and they would come back with a bag full of rattlers, and each one of them, I can't remember what the bounty was, but for that time, it was like $5 or $8, which for that was a good wage. These guys had gone up in a few hours, bagged a whole bag full of rattlers. So again, he found another one. He pointed it out and said, this is what rattlers. Now, just to give you an idea, it's because of the river valley that there were so many snakes. My dad worked along the railroad, and I know that I'm not that old that most of the people here can remember the little putt-putt cars used to go on the track. My dad used to run one of those putt-putt cars up and down the track. He was an electrician for the railroad. And he was going on the river valley just north of La Crosse, Brother Grant, between Trempealeau and La Crosse and the river valley. And it's putt-putt car. And it's backwaters on one side and the channels on the other side. And he was going there. And he said, "I have to tell you." He said, "I saw this snake come up over the rail." And he said, "I started watching it come. I thought, my goodness, that's a big snake." And he said, "I looked at it. It was a bull snake." And he said, "It came up." And he said, "It went over the next rail." And he said, "When I hit it with my putt-putt car, I cut it in 3 pieces. That's how big it was." So we were in an area of snakes. So as kids, we had to know what snakes were. There was another one called the blue racer. The blue racer, now let's back up to the rattlesnake. Dad would tell us, you know what, rattlesnakes are not that aggressive. They're going to let you know where they are, and they're going to warn you before you come upon them. Now, my brother and I, we used to climb all the way to the top of the bluff, one of the highest bluffs north of St. Louis behind our house. We would climb up there. Well, the fun thing was is not to walk around the hill, but to come straight down the front of it. And it was so steep that you couldn't really walk down it because it was so steep, but it was all grass. So we would just turn ourselves backwards and we would just push, and you'd go about 10 feet down the hill and you'd land and push and off you'd go. Well, my brother's going down, we're going, you know, like frogs backwards downhill. And my brother, wouldn't you know, he goes right up over top of a coiled rattler. And he just lit off of that hill, and he went 20, 30 feet. And it's like, my brother's got wings. What's up? And he's down the hill. And he said, did you see? And he said, there was a rattler. I just went over top of a rattler. Well, that rattler was surprised, didn't get in its action to bite him. But the times coming down, you would hear him before you got to him. Well, the blue racer is a very aggressive snake. And I think, like, in the state of Wisconsin at the time when I was a kid, only one or two people ever died from blue racers. I guess they're very mild in their venom. But we had to learn that, too, because they were still a snake, a venomous snake. So Dad would show us. Well, we got a good lesson because we had a little vent window to let some air in the basement. And one day, there was a blue racer in the basement. He somehow had gotten his way in through that vent window and come into the basement. So it was all Dad stretched it out. Here's a blue racer. Well, back in that day, we lived out in the country. There were no jobs. So pop came in bottles. And we lived along the Mississippi River. So all the fishermen would park their cars down below on the highway below our house on Highway 35. And, of course, the beverage came in a bottle. And they just throw their bottles in the ditch. So my brother and I, we made our money by collecting pop bottles in the ditch. And so one day, I don't know what it was that caused me to turn around. My brother and I were strolling. We're just looking at the grass in front of us, looking for pop bottles kicking through the grass. And I turned around to look. And I turned around, up in the air with his head cocked, was a blue racer ready to strike. Now, my brother was a year and a half older than me. And I hollered, "Snake!" And I outran my brother. We walked by there. Oh, it was probably 2 days later. And we were, you know, boys, I wonder if we can find that snake, you know. So we're walking along. There's a car parked along the road, and there's a fisherman there standing outside of his car, and you can see he's just all worked up. And we go over there, and he said, "You wouldn't believe it. This snake came out of the ditch. I'm standing behind my car to get my pole out of the trunk, and he attacked me." And he said, "I had to beat him off." Well, what did he look like? Well, he's kind of gray, black, blue. That was the one we had stepped on the day before. We just set it up for that fisherman. But the Bible says that in the Old Testament, the hearts of the children of Israel rebelled against God. And they rebelled against God's leadership. And when sin and rebellion entered in their heart against God, God sent into their camp fiery serpents. And the fiery serpents began to bite the congregation. And as it bit the congregation, a number of the people in the congregation died. So the people came before Moses, and it was, next to spiders, I guess snakes are like number three for fear of people. And people, they came to Moses, "We've got to get rid of this." And of course, Moses goes before God, and God tells Moses that, "I want you to take a pole, a brass pole, and take the form of a serpent and put it on that pole. And I want you to go out into the midst of the congregation with that pole. And I want you to lift that pole up with a serpent on it. And when you lift that pole up with a serpent on it, all those who have been bitten, all those who have the fire of venom going through them, when they look to that pole, will find immediate healing." So now sickness and wounds are throughout the camp, and people are dying here and there, but now there's a remedy. Prior to this, there was no remedy. If you were bit, you were a dead man. Well, the truth of the matter is that back in the garden, there was Adam and Eve, and they lived in absolute purity and absolute holiness because they were created in the image of God. And God is absolutely pure. And God is absolutely holy. And so they were created absolutely pure, absolutely holy. And Satan saw humanity. And God gave that humanity dominion. Gave dominion over all the birds of the air, all the fowls. He gave them, the fowls are birds, the same thing, I guess. But the birds, the air, the fish of the sea, all of the animals, he gave them dominion over the whole earth. And Satan was jealous that humanity had power and dominion. And man had dominion over Satan. And one day, Satan came and he possessed, I don't know exactly how he did it, but he came and he possessed the serpent, which at that point in time was the most intelligent of the lower level of animals. And spoke through the serpent and deceived Eve and bit Adam and Eve. The Lord had told Adam and Eve, "You may freely eat of all the fruits of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. From the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now that day when that serpent began to talk to Eve and began to try to talk to her about partaking of the fruit, because then she could be like God and she could know good and evil. Adam was standing by. He had power, he had authority, he had dominion. He should not have let the serpent talk to his wife, because that serpent was challenging God's word. Hath not God said? And then he'd quote it and just twist it a little bit. And that's what Satan does. And when that serpent entered into his domain, the heel of Adam should have come forth and crushed the head of the serpent and silenced the temptation. But Adam failed and he went passive. And he allowed the serpent to speak to his wife. And then the Bible says that when she partook of the fruit and gave it to him, he ate with her. He was there. Unfortunately, Satan's job is to get the men in the church to still be passive. And it's not time to let Satan have inroads into our homes. But if you're a father, you next Sunday on Father's Day, I pray you make a commitment to redeem the power and the authority that you need to have in your home. You need to crush the head of the serpent that tries to get into your home. You need to take authority. Amen. So Satan came and he bit them. And when they bit them, death and venom began to go through their veins. Slow death began to happen. The Bible said, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. They didn't drop dead at that moment, but they began the processes. The venom, the hotness of the venom began to move through their veins. And God said unto Eve, he said that she's going to, through great sorrow, give birth to a child. And that there's going to be conflict between her seed and the seed of the serpent. But he said that there's going to come one from the woman. Now that serpent might bruise the heel of mankind, might bite man's heels and bruise him, but from that seed of the woman would come one whose heel would crush the head of the serpent. Here we are today. All of us are sons of Adam. And not one of us can state that we're sinless. Everyone here has received their wound. Everyone here has sinned. Everyone here, according to Romans, has fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ, speaking to Nicodemus, in his message to him, when he's speaking, as he said, concerning Moses being lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And then he said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That word perish means to fully destroy. It's also translated 6 times in the New Testament as lost. And 1 time it's translated as marred. And that's what Satan does. He destroys. He mars. He hinders. He breaks down people's lives. He sends poison that ultimately tries to get to destroying their heart and to bring them down. He would want nothing more than to destroy you with poison that would get into your mind to begin to think that you ought to commit suicide because there's nothing left to live for. That's the poison. All of us get the poison within us because we've all been bitten. We're all sons of Adam. And because I've sinned and because you sin, we know that there is a verdict. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. We sit here today, if we were without remedy, hopeless humanity. Because we've all sinned. And Christ, in his discourse to Nicodemus, spoke of his great design coming to the world. He said that he came to seek and to save the children of men from death and to recover them back to life. He had already spoken to Nicodemus, and he told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can I, a man that is old, be born? Can I go a second time in my mother's womb? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of the water and born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He gave a plan to Nicodemus, helping him to begin to understand that there was something that was coming. There was a hope. There was a redemption. The redemption that came to mankind was not a matter of a serpent being raised upon a pole. Think about it this morning, that when the serpent bit the children of Israel because they had rebelled, and all of us at some point have rebelled against God, the very curse, which was the serpent, which was the thing that brought sin in the beginning with Adam and Eve. And it was the thing that was biting them and killing them. The very thing that was the curse is what God told Moses to put upon a tree and to raise up on that pole for all men to see. Now think about it. Who amongst the children of Israel would not look to the tree, to the pole? The only ones who would not look to the pole would be those who are convinced that their bite is not deadly. Those who are fooling themselves to believe that on my own and my own antibodies and my own strength, I'm going to be able to exist through this bite. I'm here to tell you, you cannot save yourself. You cannot do anything through in and within yourself. There's no way to save yourself. There may be some there that would say, you know, I don't know. I'm going to have to look to a pole with a snake on it? Isn't that really quite foolish? Why, it's nothing but a brass pole with a brass snake on it. By goodness, I would be absolutely humiliated. What would this brother think if he saw me looking at a pole with a snake on it? He'd think I lost my mind. Could it be that there'd be some so foolish that they would not have believed the word of Moses? Moses simply said, look to the pole with a snake on it, and you will be healed. As we sit here today, we would think anybody in that congregation who did not look to that pole is a fool. But might it be today that there's another tree that was raised, and he who knew no sin became cursed, because cursed is the man who hangs on a tree. And in order to redeem you from the curse, he himself had to become the curse. And if you will look to him who redeems you from the curse, you will be free from the curse. You can be redeemed, praise God. You can be set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, as a mortal wound, sick and incurable disease has come upon us. We're sinners, and as sinners, we're dead men. As one that's mortally wounded, and everybody here carries a wound, or sick of an incurable disease, you're dying, and it's said to be of that one a dead man. As one, maybe in another aspect, justly condemned to die for an unpardonable crime, it's said of that one as he sits waiting in a cell for the judgment to be brought, he's a dead man. But all of us have sinned. We all have a mortal wound, and we all have committed the unpardonable crimes of sin. So here we sit today, and we have a decision to make that is so simple that some may think it foolish. You just need to look to Jesus Christ, the one who lifted a pup on the tree. I'm not here to give you any deep theological lesson this morning. I'm here to tell you there is a remedy. There is a remedy. Without availing yourself of the remedy, there is eternal damnation. But there is a remedy. The soul that sinneth, yes, it will die. And the death that he talks of is in the lake of fire. There is a time of punishment for those who would be so foolish as not to take an opportunity this morning to look to the tree, to look to the one who's been raised up as a hope for all humanity. Ask any awakened conscience, ask damned sinners, and they will tell you how charming soever the allurements of sin are, and how charming the serpent was in it, all of its speaking. The last bite was that which hurt the worst. And they are damned, and their guilt and the shame of their sin stings at their soul. And as you sit here today, some are stinging with the burning pain of shame. Don't leave. Don't leave with a burning shame in your soul today. You don't have to. He said, if you will be born of the water and of the Spirit, if you will come to Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, if you will simply say, Lord, I can't save myself. There's no antibody within me that can redeem me from what I have done. I cannot save myself. I'm going to turn. I'm going to turn from my own ways. I'm going to turn to the cross of Calvary. I'm going to come to the cross of Calvary. I'm going to look to Jesus Christ. If you will look to him and you will turn and repent for your sins, he will come to you. And if you allow yourself to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, he will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And today you can have the answer and the remedy and the antidote for your life. You can leave here today with no more sting of shame. You can leave here today with no more pain of your guilt. You can leave here today absolutely free. Praise God. You can't buy it. You were on death row, but today you can be free. Today you can be free. Let us stand this morning. So Christ came to save us by healing us. As that brazen serpent healed the Israelites, the lifted brazen serpent was appointed for the cure for those who were bitten by the fiery serpent. However, the application of the remedy was still an individual decision. And the application of the remedy is still a personal decision. No one can make it for you today. And don't be so foolish as to worry about what someone else is going to think. Because in Luke, he said to his disciples concerning the Pharisees, don't be afraid of those who can kill your body. But there's one you should fear, the one who has power both to kill body and soul and cast it into hell. That's whom we ought to fear. Don't fear what someone's going to think. And I make no apology today to give you an opportunity to step forth and to come to an altar and repent. If you've never been baptized, I want you, as you come up here, to talk to one of the people that will join with you at the altar today and tell them, I am here to be baptized in Jesus' name. And we will see to it that you understand baptism and that you get baptized. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you have the remedy today. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Let me tell you, when you receive the Holy Ghost, when you come up here and you repent of your sins, you begin to feel the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ as you look to the cross of Calvary. You begin to feel the freshness. You'll feel your sins being washed away. You'll feel the mercy of God. And as you begin to feel that mercy of God, begin to worship him and begin to praise him. And as you begin to worship him and praise him for washing your sins away, you'll begin to feel his Spirit welling up within your heart, and you'll discover yourself saying words that you have never learned as you worship him from your spirit and your soul. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy God coming into you. That's the remedy. That's the power to give you above sin. That's what's going to take the curse away. That's what's going to give you hope. And you can have it today. The cross has already been raised. He's already paid the price. Now it's for you to make the application. Would you come? Would you step out? Would you come? Would you come to Jesus Christ? He and he alone is hope. Maybe you've been baptized. Maybe you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but today there's a sting of shame in your life. Would you come back to Jesus Christ? Don't walk from him. He's your only hope. He's the remedy. He's the remedy today. Would you come to Jesus Christ? You must be born again.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is.
You need to be baptized today. Would you please let someone near you know? We're here today to apply a remedy. You can make application. You can find your hope. You can walk out of here today without the sting of shame. You can walk out of here free, your soul liberated. Begin with a moment of repentance. Feel him begin to cleanse you and wash you. Then let the joy of Jesus flood your heart and replace the sting of shame with the wonderful floods of joy. Let his Spirit flood out of you as you speak in another heavenly language. Let it happen this morning. He wants you to be free. He's come to you
He went to the cross himself. He came.
Stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Oh, Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All